It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I would do it live on air.
What?
Yeah. You gave me the idea just now. I mean, is that just not the best way to sack someone?
I think my lawyers might have something to say about that.
James, you don't have a lawyer.
I can't afford one, but I reckon you can.
Ellery, welcome to Planet Sky FF. Just so you know, James is no way near getting fired.
Okay, I wasn't actually going to put that bit in the intro, but...
But if he wins £50,000, he may fucking leave.
So he said, remove that.
I need my phone, though.
Are we restarting or are we just carrying on? Just carry on. Okay.
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello everybody, welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
You're not getting fired, but if you win £50,000, you're going to leave? You're going to just retire?
That's not enough.
Okay, it definitely is
it's
not.
Enough to have a party.
It definitely is not
invite
enough.
Invite everyone who's listening or watching to said party, but that's about it.
We will only be inviting patrons. Patreon.com/PlanetFPL.
Yeah, patrons only. Yeah.
How are we doing, James?
I'm all right, mate. I'm disappointed with what I did on Overhaul.
I did mine in about 15 minutes, so it's got to be better than mine, surely.
Can I be honest with you? My Friday, that movement of the Burnley-Luton game destroyed me.
Yeah, I obviously missed the FPL deadline, James. So then ended up in a bit of a negative headspace for Sky. I had a team that I had ready. I then tinkered with it a little bit to get to coverage of all the teams that I wanted, took a screenshot, sent it to you and said, am I good? You said you've only got one captaincy day not covered, of which I already had a transfer planned. I flicked through all of the screenshots in our Slack Sky FF channel of everybody's overhaul team, not even knowing whose is whose, but just to look at the mix of the players. I'm like, okay, all of the players in my team are a combination of most of the players in other people's teams bar one or two, and I thought, cool, pull the trigger, let's go.
I sat on, you messaged me, it was about...
And I'm also 10K, remember, rather than like 500, 600 or something like that.
You messaged me about 7:15 or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to miss the overhaul deadline or something like that. I'm like, okay, cool.
I'm not going to do it.
I threw Harry in the bath and sat on the bathroom floor while he was in the bath and figured out what I was going to do. Because every little draft that I looked at, I wanted to go 5-4-1. Every single one that I looked at. And obviously you can't do that.
No, not allowed in the fantasy Sky FF world.
Everything I wanted to do to link back to getting Haaland, Salah, etc. was in a 5-4-1. Everything I wanted to do. And I knew that once Haaland was effectively ruled out on Friday, that I had to really punt a Luton player rather than a Burnley player. It just made sense to put a Luton player in, have an effective 3-0, Haaland back against Burnley, buying back. And so that's what I did. But the Luton player that I really wanted was Alfie Doughty.
Defender.
But I basically put myself in a position where I had to go for either Ross Barkley or Adebayo. Ross Barkley actually come out of the game doing quite well and could have hauled, actually. Because he had a tackle too, was close to passing. He had a shot on target earlier in the game as well. And he had a couple of other efforts that were blocked. I went for Adebayo and I hated it. But there was, for me, there was with the Haaland news, there was no, and the confirmation from the FA Cup fixtures. That was the other thing that happened on the Friday. We'd worked out that the three games that could move from Tuesday the 30th to Wednesday the 31st couldn't move. They couldn't move, ironically, because literally all because Luton, Palace and Everton were all scheduled to play that night and were all part of the same FA Cup tie. And once Liverpool had got announced for the Sunday, it meant that they couldn't put Everton or Crystal Palace against Luton or Bolton on the Sunday. And it obviously wasn't going to be the Monday. So it had to be the Friday or the Saturday. Therefore, none of the Tuesday games were going to move. So I knew then that the Luton-Brighton fixture was definitely going to stay. And so I, in my heart, I was like, 3-0. Like, how can I not just punt something here? And yeah, that is a shit fucking punt, man.
So tell us your, how many points are you on at the moment?
Bad. I'm on 35, so I've dropped.
Oh, I've got more than you for a change.
I mean, I've got a fair few to go. I mean, basically, I haven't got a defensive player that's played yet.
Right.
The only players that played are offensive players. And yeah, he was very much a part of my thinking. I know a few of the patrons gambled because I was like, look, I really think he'll play. If he's trained on Thursday, I really think he'll play. And he did. Because you remember as well, he'd only missed a couple of weeks. It wasn't like he was out for 2 months. And coming back in at centre-back's easier than coming back in midfield. So, yeah, he was very much on my mind, as was obviously Pedro Porro. I decided that I might want to come back for Tottenham next Wednesday. So, decided to leave it. I ended up in a 4-4-2 with Adebayo and Watkins up front. And, yep, that's my Friday and my Sunday captaincies.
Okay.
I really, really thought, in my second team, I went for Rashford and I captained him on Sunday. I really thought he was the best shout for captaincy on Sunday, but I just couldn't justify it in my main team, particularly as their next fixture was going to be the Thursday against Wolves. I just couldn't justify it. I went for midfield four, Palmer, who I did captain on Saturday. Rodri and Foden returned 11 points between them on the Saturday. I went Areola in goal, which that was a confirmed for me once I knew I was going to punt a Luton player rather than just go Trafford, which is what I think you did.
Mm-hmm.
I went Saliba, Van Heck and Van Dijk were always going to be definites for me and ended up going Lewis Dunk as well. Again, knowing that I could jump off straight off that Brighton-Luton game if I wanted to, and I kind of wanted a bit of insurance, and it might be that it's two Brighton players leave. I take two games of information and one stays once I've got an extra couple of games of information. Like, do I still feel secure in Van Heck, for example, or do I want to keep Gross's consistency? So I've ended up with three Brighton. So I've still got all the defensive players and Gross obviously still to go this weekend.
It's five to go, yeah?
Six.
Oh, okay. So I'm five, six, yeah. One, two,
five
three.
Down. Eight, 18 from Palmer, 11 from Rodri Foden, six on the Watkins Adebayo captaincies.
Mm.
Watkins had six shots. How's he not even hit a shot to
you? Yeah, it's mad. I ended up... I had Cunha in my team at one point with Watkins up top. I had Alvarez in my team as well. And I tried to start reverse engineering who I do and don't want. So this, my kind of daisy chain was you hinting to me that Romero was likely to be fit. I was like, well,
did you go for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, do I want Romero or do I want Vicario? Because it was Vicario was my potential goalkeeper. I said, well, look, if I go to Romero, it means that I can get to Trafford. I can use Trafford as my Luton Burnley, and I've got a captaincy for that day, and I'm fairly comfortable with that. And look, I was 2 minutes and VAR away from actually that being a great outcome. It was only 6 points in the end, and I'm quite happy that I've got Romero sitting in there. Like you, Saliba, Van Heck, and Van Dijk were almost givens, particularly with Trent's injury, Van Heck's price, and I needed Arsenal coverage because I've got no Arsenal attacking. Rodri Palmer, I mean, I don't know what their ownership, but it's going to be through the roof.
We'll cover it.
91% for Palmer in the top 100.
1,000.
Top 1,000, sorry, and 74% for Rodri. Added in Foden, being that I didn't go with Alvarez and Haaland wasn't available. I wanted the extra attacking threat. And Watkins was a given for me as well. So then I had one midfielder that I could pick and one striker. Cunha was there for me. And I like the idea of him being a differential captain for the Brighton Wolves game.
By the way, we think it was just cramp he came off with last night, by the way.
Van Heck, I had sitting there, though. And I wanted to have some fun, James. So I decided I still believe in Jota as a good Salah replacement temporarily, so I wanted to go with Jota. Yeah,
where you are, you might as well take more of a punt as well.
And yeah. I wanted to get Ivan Toney.
Yeah, fine.
So I added Jota and Toney, and I'll probably armband Toney and just go all in with it. I ended up, I was around 10K. I went up to 9K, and then I dropped back down to where I was, 10K. Yeah, but I think again, Arsenal Palace or Brentford at home to Forest, I really do think I'm going to punt Toney as captain over Saliba on that day. And then on the Sunday, I'll go with Jota. And on the Monday, I'll go with Van Hek. But yeah, I feel okay. I'm on 41 points with, like you, Saliba, Van Hek, Van Dijk to go, plus Jota and Ivan Toney. So I've got five to go and I'm 41 points.
So we haven't, my captains we haven't gone for the one player that I think most have gone for, which I completely understand, by the way, as the placeholder for moving back to Haaland.
I've got seven. What have you got in the bank? I've got 7.4.
I did not have 9.7 on my bingo card.
Okay.
But there's some good news with that coming.
Who is the player that most people used as the placeholder for Erling Haaland?
Well, if you look at ownership, this will come to nearly 100% across two players. Obviously, Alvarez is in 30% of teams. So I think a few have still gone, yeah, but possibly captained him at the weekend. I know not got the returns. It could be deads, which we see some, but I think 30% higher. When you look at Salah's in at like 5% now or so, I think he was 10 to 15% on Saturday morning, and a few have sold since. And Haaland's ownership's really low as well in the top 1,000. That suggests to me that, no, 75% of that at least is live ownership, okay. I think.
You're going to say Darwin Nunez, aren't you?
No.
Oh.
Saka, mate.
Okay, understood.
Saka's in 69% of teams in the top 1,000, mate.
Mm.
So some of that will be dead, admittedly. But that's who people, I think, have gone to and have looked at it and gone, yep, Palace at home, Forest away, two potential captaincies, shoved that onto Haaland. There's others who are doing it with, like I've done with the likes of Adebayo, which is why I've got so much money in the bank. And of course, there's kind of a new name, it's not a new name, that came to the fore at the weekend that's obviously on people's minds now, particularly if Haaland's not back, and that's repeat cycle from FPL podcast, Kevin De Bruyne, right?
Yeah,
just not on radar at all because, and I think he wouldn't have been for most Sky players because most of us thought he wouldn't start. But there's definitely a handful out there have gone, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get it done. He's back. It's going to save me a transfer down the line, or perhaps thought he would start at Newcastle. He's up to 16% in the top 1,000.
Okay.
If he starts against Burnley and Haaland's not back, there's an inevitability of a lot of what's going to happen there. I think you just need to check yourselves though if you go down that route next Wednesday, and hopefully when we sit down next Wednesday we'll have more info. If Haaland's not available and you go De Bruyne, then how are you going to do Salah's the one
that's well. Still in the back of my mind of how am I going to get to.
So the irony is, from what I don't like with Adebayo, is it's actually fairly straightforward for me to get all three in.
Yep,
actually there'll be a sacrifice in there somewhere. But there's a choice of whether that's sort of Foden or Watkins. But yeah, I can do it. And it doesn't even, it means I'd still keep the likes of Palmer, for example. It's fine. I could end up in a position quite quickly here where I end up with Rodri, Foden, De Bruyne, Haaland and Van Dijk, Salah, which would obviously be over half my team from City, Liverpool. Most of you will know, obviously, the City-Brentford game has been added to when we thought it would. It's the Tuesday night. In match week 25, which for some reason I've put Monday the 19th. It's Tuesday the 20th. Thanks, Suj, for correcting me to make sure my plan is right. It's Tuesday the 20th,
cool.
That fixture. Liverpool Luton obviously could still get added. Liverpool basically need to get to the Carabao Cup final first. That would definitely be Wednesday night, Wednesday the 21st. If they decide to obviously add the fixture. We can't guarantee the Premier League will do that, but they should. So City now, you can see the extra fixture. Liverpool, possibly extra fixture. And of course, the knock-on is what you've done is Toney. And the extra fixture for Brentford. And we've got two confirmed extra fixtures for Brentford because we now know that the Burnley game in match week 29, the FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, is the first game confirmed for that weekend that will definitely be on. And who knows, Sky might just stick it on the Friday night or something. Also, the knock-on of your team losing last night, Suj, is that West Ham and Brentford on Monday the 26th. He's now confirmed single game day.
So me sitting there with Tony was a little bit of a masterstroke of luck.
I don't think it's... I wouldn't look at it and go, right, you've got to do it or you've got to get there. I mean, West Ham, Brentford, for example, those have gone Bowen. Like, you don't need it. None of those days, other than maybe this Saturday, you're going to captain him. So it's not like a necessity. And you could always enter now on Monday the 26th of February with the West Ham game. It's still Chelsea and Arsenal with the next two before then Burnley comes around. And that's the caveat to this. Yes, there's two extra games for him over what will be over some. We don't know all at the moment. It'd be three over some, actually. But the fixtures are rough. After Forest, it's Tottenham away, City home, Wolves away, Liverpool home, City away, West Ham away, Chelsea home, Arsenal away. It's rough. Now, if he's got three extra fixtures, then we know how our headspace works for Sky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you want him to be a part of it. But I don't think it's like a, oh, shit, panic. Like, I'm not looking at it and going, oh, well, if Haaland's not back for Wednesday, should I go Adebayo to Tony now? No, probably not. It's probably something I come back for. I think what a lot will think, he's at a similar price bracket to Ollie Watkins, right? So what's Tony priced up as?
8.7.
Watkins is 9.3. But obviously Watkins could end up playing that extra game with West Ham in match week 29. Now, one point on that would be you could come back for it because... I would suggest that Burnley-Brentford is highly unlikely to be on the Sunday, whereas West Ham and Aston Villa, if that goes ahead in that match week, has to be on the Sunday because the two teams will play in Europe on the Thursday before.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that he's expendable, say from Sheffield United Saturday the 3rd, and you could go Tony Monday the 5th against Man City and then come back for Watkins at the end. So over that period, you'd have Tony would have 5 games. And Watkins, you'd be missing three, I think. Yeah, three. There is one in there, Nottingham Forest at home, you could argue as a captaincy, but City play Brentford. Actually, no, it's a longer period than that, isn't it? So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fixtures for Watkins. And for Tony over that period, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
So an 8v5. If you throw in the West Ham captaincy, then, yeah, that sort of thing is going to be quite a popular move. So it's not a desperate. You can also do that, obviously, next midweek. Watkins plays Newcastle on the Tuesday. And then Tony obviously goes to Tottenham on the Wednesday. I'd probably wait the one more, though, because Watkins then got Sheffield United. So you've got Watkins with Sheffield United or Tony versus Tottenham. I'd probably wait the one more under that circumstance. So, yeah, Tony's going to be popular. He's already the sixth most selected forward in at 10%. Which is same as Darwin Nunez. João Pedro's got a little bit more. I thought João Pedro's one, I thought his ownership would have been higher. He was very close for me to going in. I nearly went, nah, sack this Burnley Luton stuff off and go João Pedro as well. Captain him against Wolves and possibly Luton and then move him on if that's what I deemed I wanted to do. So I'm surprised he's only landing 11.5%. Alvarez has said 30%. Dominic Solanke, I'm surprised, 32%. Just purely because the fixtures are getting much tougher. There's no captaincy in there. I suppose part of the thinking with that is if the Luton game gets added, then he's in place. And I understand
can,
that.
Can but I just add in here, mate? Because Ian Parrin sent a question in on the internet. Which player surprised you by their high or low ownership? You're kind of answering it. So let's put it in the context of Ian's question, really. So we don't repeat ourselves.
I didn't think Saka's ownership would be that high.
Yeah, because I thought a lot of people would be on Saliba, and he's a perfectly decent captaincy coverage for Saka. But Saka hasn't been in the best
form. On the flip of that, if you look at the defensive ownership, the next highest owned Arsenal player after Saliba is Gabriel, 2.4% of the top 1,000. And we'd spoke a couple of weeks ago about maybe having a bit of a blanket Arsenal. I think what happened there is the availability of the Tottenham players again, Brighton players, clarity on Van Dijk meant that you just couldn't push down that route, I think, with Arsenal. And there was a few will have wanted to go Man City players like Cole Walker's in 20% of the top 1,000, for example. So that's why. But yeah, I suppose reading between the lines on that, yeah, probably should have seen coming a high ownership for a Saka. And it makes perfect sense that people might have that in mind to go Saka then onto Haaland or now De Bruyne, for example, or even Mo if he's back, which isn't impossible if Egypt were to lose two games, right?
Yeah.
Might as well carry on covering that in terms of top 1,000 ownership. So Cole Palmer is highest of all, 91.9%. Rodri is in three quarters of teams. Bukayo Saka has said in over two thirds. Pascal Gross is in half.
Wow.
Did you go Gross?
Did not.
51.3% of the top 1,000. Phil Foden is in a third. So 34%. I said De Bruyne, 16.6% in the top 1,000. I'm fairly certain it wasn't that high on Saturday morning. The people were just already, for whatever reason. Jared Bowen in 15% of teams, which might look like a masterstroke if he lands in the team on Sunday. And I wonder if a few have gone without, if they see him in the team on Sunday, might think, shit, I'm going to move the Burnley Luton player to that now.
Those would be the people that didn't watch West Ham play last night, James.
Douglas Luiz, the only other midfielder with over 10%, which is an interesting one, but I think he's a nice filler at sort of 8 million.
He was the
other Villa player that we were really considering. Declan Rice at under 10%, I'm a little surprised about.
Okay.
There's been some punts here for Bruno Fernandes. He's in 7.7% of the top 1,000. Odegaard's the only other player in more than 5%. Diogo Jota, 4.8% of the top 1,000. So Ross Barkley, 3.5%. A lot of that will obviously get moved on shortly. Salah, 3.2% of the top 1,000. Defenders, Saliba, to be honest, that's lower than I expected. 84.5% of the top 1,000.
Probably a little low, yeah.
Yeah. Van Dijk, I think also is surprisingly low, despite it being, again, over two-thirds, 68.1%. Porro in 40%. Lewis Dunk, 25%. Van Heck, 21%. Is Stupinan 17%. I wonder how many have gone all three. I think a few have. If there's a blanket defence knocking about, it's Brighton.
Okay.
Good luck with that with one clean sheet this season. But the fixtures are good. We openly know that. Van Heck 21%, is Stupinan 17%. So, I mean, combined effective there, that's going to be roughly about a third of teams don't have Brighton defensive coverage. And I think there'll be some out there who've got three. Might want a bit of awareness of that for Monday night if you haven't got any. Kyle Walker has said in a fifth of teams, and there's nobody else above 10%. Alfie Doughty is the next most owned defender, 8.9%. That's the one I said I wanted to punt. It's fortuitous with the assist, by the way. And I would have known that myself. So there's not a huge regret on, it was the one I wanted to do, though. Kieran Trippier, only 6%. It's a bit surprising, maybe.
Well, I mean, they started with City, right? So
yeah, but as we said previously, there's not really an entry point for them. No. So if you wanted it, you kind of had to start with
it. I just think maybe there's
it.
Also so many other decent options defensively, the ones that we've mentioned there, that it didn't appeal.
And then the only other ones between sort of 5 and 2%, this aside, Diaz, Colwell, Konsa, Trent, 2.5%. Malo Gusto. Malo Gusto is an interesting one. 6.8 is obviously an enabler. 2.5%. And Gabriel has said. Goalkeepers, you know who's the most, Suj?
Vicario.
It is, yeah. A quarter of teams. This was always going to be a place where it was definitely going to be differentials, whatever.
Of course, yeah. It's only one
so
slot.
Vicario in the quarter of teams. Edison, 16%. Some will have sold already, I guess, because of the injury on Saturday, but he could even be back for the next game. I'd seek information. Areola, 15%. Alisson, 11%. James Trafford, 8%. Will presumably be chaining that on. So I think Areola's, particularly Sunday, will grow. Emi Martinez, 5%. Kaminsky, just under 5%. Lot will chain that on, obviously. And Jordan Pickford, 4%. The only ones above 2%, which is Martin Dubravka, 2%. Surprised to see Petrovic in 1.9%.
Cheap?
Well, Sanchez might be back quickly. So,
but I mean, I don't think Petrovic has played particularly badly, has he? I don't think he's returned
particularly well either, though.
No, whether or not he's returned in points versus what he's done in the actual team. So whether or not he gets dropped because he hasn't played badly versus whether or not he returns are obviously always two quite different things. Let's talk about captaincy for the second half of this set of fixtures. On Saturday, are you going to go with Saliba?
it's, was the only one I've got. So it's not a choice unless something forces my hand to go, yeah, I should go Tony now. But I don't think I will. I might come back when they play Man City, either the first or the second time. But no, it'll be Saliba for me. I mean, I'll see the team, won't I? So if there's any reason he's not in it, then yeah, I might be buying Tony on Saturday.
I'm going Tony just because I'm chasing now. And I do think that'll give me better upside. Like Saliba, a 5-pointer is almost guaranteed as a 10-pointer. If the clean sheet's in there, fine. 10 doubled up to 20. Whereas if Tony pops off on his first game, I really need him to go big. So I'm going to go Tony over Saliba. And I do own Saliba, so it's not like I'm not getting any of the points. It's just the doubled up captaincy points for me. On the Sunday, I'm going to go with Jota over Van Dijk. Again, I'm chasing upside here.
Yep.
Difficulty is that I won't see the team, James. So I'm hoping for...
There's a gamble element now.
I'm hoping for some leaky leaks, but if not, that's fine. I'm going to go with the upside. It's home tie for Bournemouth, and from an attacking point of view, they've been okay, actually. So whether or not there's a clean sheet in there for Van Dijk, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few Solanke captainers knocking about on Sunday well. I mean, it will definitely play, assuming it comes for FA Cup fourth round okay. Remember, our players must still do that.
Yeah. What's your captaincy on the Sunday? Van Dijk?
Van Dijk or Areola.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a straightforward choice, because I think on the face of it, you think, well, probability of a West Ham clean sheet might be higher. And he could easily do not a lot, Areola, and knock out a 22-pointer or something, right?
Yeah.
Do I fancy Liverpool for a clean sheet? Not particularly. So it'd be a close one for that. I think the sensible play here for me will be to go Van Dijk.
Yeah, agreed. And on the Monday, I've only got Van Heek, so it'll be Van Heek for me, unless I obviously add something, but that will only be through being forced to.
It won't be Van Heek, because I've got Dunk on board, I would obviously captain Dunk over him, because if for whatever reason one of them was to miss out on the passing tier, it won't be Dunk, you would think. So it's probably Dunk for me over Gross, I think, Monday.
Okay. Not Gross. You don't fancy... he's got an all-round way of getting points.
Wait on the final. I couldn't sit here now and say Gross, because if he's playing fullback, I'm...
Maybe not. And if he's number 10, you might be more keen. Yeah, I understand that.
I mean, to be fair, they're a little bit more straightforward at the moment because of the spacing of their games. And he probably plays central midfield position. So the probability of hitting passing tier is good. So then it becomes do I fancy the Brighton clean sheet over the probability of Gross getting attacking return. When I weigh that up, it might be that I land on Gross. So it'll be Dunk or Gross, it won't be Van Heek for me.
Okay.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
James, do you want to let us know who was interesting from a tier point of view from the five fixtures that we've had? Burnley Luton obviously being the first.
Yeah, I wonder how many might have punted a Burnley centre-back because of the historical on the passing tiers. And ironically,
Jordan Bayer was the one that was, because he was cheap, but he obviously didn't play.
If you were chaining it on to something else, particularly if it was just captaincy and then move straight away, which I think with Burnley, that's what a lot have done. So, like, what are you doing with Trafford?
Areola.
So that's what I'm saying. So you've taken one game and moving it. Yeah, that's probably what I think a lot will do. So, in any case, the two that played at centre-back, Ekdal, 27 passes completed. O'Shea, 16. Two of Luton's centre-backs at tier one passing. Wow. Amari Bell, 63, and Gabby Osho, 61. Osho also tackle tier as well. Ross Barkley has said, very close to a big haul here. Six tackles, 58 passes completed, and he had a shot on target early.
A good shot as well.
In the game as well, and as I said, he had a few blocked efforts. Ogbene, 3 shots on target, was really lively, played right wing back, also scored for Luton at Bolton in the FA Cup last night. How many Chelsea players in the passing tiers against Fulham, Suj?
In total, I'm going to say 6.
None.
Oh, really?
Thiago Silva.
I saw loads of points, so I thought there must be some
Thiago Silva, 59.
all close.
Disasai 54, that's going to be pretty disappointing. The one that's got you the extra this week is Levi Colwell, 6 tackles, 1. It was also tackled.
He sat in my team for the whole of the first half of the season, and now he's finally hauling with a 10-pointer.
Yeah, look, they're about to, I don't want to say sell about him. To walk into a more difficult run.
They're about to sell him, aren't they?
You've got the captaincy Monday the 12th against Crystal Palace to bear in mind. But I think if Chelsea obviously go through in the Carabao Cup, I think there'll be a bit of an exodus after they play Man City on Saturday the 17th of February. Because there's potentially, it's going to be from 3-0s over that period.
Do you reckon he could pop up at Spurs, Levi Colwell? I think Chelsea need some money, mate.
No chance.
They need to
mate.
Sell a homegrown player.
No chance.
I've been seeing.
No chance.
You just bought Dragojan.
No chance.
Dragon. Can we just call him Dragon, your new player?
Radu Dragosin.
Dragon.
Pronounce it like it's shin. Okay. Kalin told me that, and he's Romanian, so I'm definitely taking his word for it.
Fulham?
We might buy Conor Gallagher, though. Fulham, tackled here for Paulinho, 6 tackles. There's no
surprise,
major
surprise.
Shots here for Jimenez. Who I think might be an interesting one as the season progresses. How many City players in Parsons here at Newcastle, Suj?
None.
Don't be silly, mate.
Rodri.
Rodri only had 134 passes completed. Okay. Next most was Kovacic, 88. Bernardo Silva, 81. He very much kind of joined the midfield three in the game. Ruben Diaz, 72. Nothing for Nathan Aké, who did play as a left-sided centre-back. Only 48 passes completed. Yet Kyle Walker at right-back did hit tier one passing. 61. Josko Vardy of 43.
How many passes did De Bruyne complete in his 25 minutes?
17.
Okay. Interesting.
You have to remember, though, a little bit of game state there in the sense that Newcastle were in complete retreat. But obviously, some of the teams playing against Man City will be in complete retreat even
all
when
the
they're
time.
Losing forthcoming games. Yeah, and Burnley, for example, in the next game may well be one of them.
Yeah.
Silva, Foden and Alvarez all in the shot tier. For Alvarez, it was shot tier two. How he, in particular, never scored in the game. Blimey. For Newcastle, shout out for Sean Longstaff. 8 passes completed in 90 minutes. Trips was in the tackles, as was Bruno Guimaraes. There was shots here for Alexander Isak as well. Dubravka made 8 saves. Everton Villa. Most completed passes by an Everton player was James Tarkowski, 22. Which I know we consider them not much of a passing team, but it's still pretty low. And yet the Villa numbers weren't off the scale. Clement Longley had the most. Tier 2 passing, 71 passes completed. Consu and Luiz in Tier 1. Which is interesting. Consa, I think, got in there because Diogo Carlos was removed with 20 minutes to go and Consa moved inside to centre-back. Had he not moved into centre-back, I don't think he would have hit that.
Right.
Boubacar Kamara was just short, 58 passes completed, but he did pick up a tackle tier. Finally, for Manchester United and Tottenham, Raphael Varane, the most for passes for Manchester United with 32.
Whoa.
Mickey van der Ven just got into tier one passing with 60. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg played really well actually in the sixth position. 77 passes completed. Christian Romero, 86. So comfortably in. Both fullbacks in the tackles. Pedro Porro, 4. Udogi, 5. Porro, so 45 passes completed. Also had 1 shot on target. Rodrigo Bentancur hit a shot tier and completed 49 passes despite playing in a more advanced position. And Richarlison also hit a shot tier. Bruno Fernandes did reward the punters with a tackle tier.
Fair play. It feels like there was not that many passing tiers over the weekend compared to how many there might be. Am I right in feeling
not,
that? It's a gut feel more than anything else.
I don't know. Not hugely surprised at that when you're looking at the teams of playing. I mean, Everton Villa I would have looked at and said there might not be any. United Tottenham, I would have thought there would have been something for us, but I would have thought it might have been just Romero, for example. Newcastle, you wouldn't have expected anything. City is, I think, higher than we would have expected. Burnley Luton, we wouldn't have expected anything. So, no, not particularly, really.
Cool, cool. Should we wrap by going through some of the questions that we've had in on Tinternet?
Go for it. How many of them feature Kevin De Bruyne?
I haven't looked through, but shall I surprise you by saying
none?
None. I haven't seen KDB or De Bruyne mentioned in any of the questions we've had. Okay, none.
Look, fine. Let's skip it then, because we'll pod again next Wednesday. We'll have we'll hopefully have a little bit more. In fact, it's 2 weeks away till City play Burnley. It's not even next week, is it?
Yeah, no.
It's just 2 weeks away. We'll come back to it. Fine.
Dino says, is Palmer to Eze a decent transfer? Looking at the Chelsea upcoming fixtures and potential blanks if they beat Middlesbrough in the Carabao and Villa in the FA Cup, admittedly, it wouldn't be a first great fixture to move to. It's Arsenal away. But fixtures after look decent enough. So we're talking about moving literally on the Sunday coming up.
No.
Saturday coming up, sorry.
No, wait till that Saturday the 17th, because Palmer will be the outstanding captaincy in the game before, which is against Palace, on Monday the 12th. So, yeah, take in Palmer's next four and then move to Eze on the Monday the 19th when Palace play Everton. That would be my thoughts. If you're looking at Chelsea to Palace specifically, and then you can chain that, have an effective 3-0, taking the Burnley game, and as I said, you can move to a Wolves player on the Sunday, or we now know you can move to a West Ham or Brentford player on the Monday.
Chris Hermitage, any players you now regret having or not having? You talked about Adebayo being one for you.
I should have left it, I think. I got the theory in it was, you're looking at it and going, if he hits a shot to in either, so I'm looking, if he blanks against Burnley, and let's say he gets a shot tier against Brighton. And by the way, the reason I really don't like it is because he doesn't hit shot tiers. But I'm looking at it going, all right, could I maybe have 8 points here across the two games? Is that then enough to justify having him at the start? And it's borderline, isn't it? But that's what I was hoping for, was one shot tier across the two games will arguably be enough to represent having him. And there's a punt in there, i.e. that if he scores, great, he was definitely worth it. And if he scores against Brighton and even doesn't hit the shot tier and rewards with like a 7-pointer, then 11 across the two games is perfectly reasonable, isn't it? But my expectation on it was never high. And you watch the game and you're watching him and you're thinking, yeah, I see you in positions, mate, but I don't think you're going to do anything other than block goalkeepers coming out to catch crosses.
Should have got an assist for that, surely.
So, yeah, the others... No, I think Foden might work out to be a luxury that might work in my favour, possibly. There's a little bit of... Maybe I should have gone Alvarez. A little bit, maybe. And used... Rather than using that to go to Haaland, just say, look, we're just going to sweep in with as much City as possible here. I guess Saka's the other one. Those who've gone Saka rather than, say, a Luton player, I mean, right now, obviously, are in a stronger position. Definitely. And it's not like I didn't have the money. That's the annoyance, isn't it? It's like the money's there to go to anybody and I decided to go for a Luton player. Is that right?
Well, look, we had the captaincy, and as Ian had said before, it's one transfer, not two.
Yep.
So I'm not beating myself above it. The fact that half my team hasn't played yet, I can't really
100%
regret owning, right?
I would have skipped the game if it was later in the season. Yeah, yeah.
100%. But if half your team hasn't played, how can you have any regrets yet? Because you don't know how they're going to perform, right?
I think even if the game had stayed the Monday, I think I might have skipped it because I wouldn't have seen the teams.
True.
And I think I'd have had enough, because Doughty was the one I'd have wanted, and I could have gone 100% he plays, no problem. But with Adebayo, I could have gone, well, might he start Morris? I could have had that doubt, and I think I'd have gone, nah, I'm not having it.
I only regret looking at my team, Foden, really. And I regret it because it doesn't bring me excitement. Like, owning Jota or Tony, I feel like there's a little bit of jeopardy and excitement there. But it's a sensible move. I get it. He's 35% owned. They're going to have all these extra fixtures. He's going to come in useful for me. Great. The regret is not necessarily that I own him. He's just in my team and it doesn't fill me with any particular excitement.
As I said,
to be honest with you,
part of my route now, if I take the De Bruyne route as well, would be that if I want to get Haaland and Salah as well, which with the money in the bank I can do, that it would be losing Watkins or Foden to get whichever one's last, which will probably be Salah. And that's going to be dependent on Foden's form, essentially, isn't it?
Correct.
Really? So,
if Bowen is back, says John Wayne, the only player I'd take out for him is Foden. But City have Burnley next. What's your thoughts? I have Solanke and VVD for captaincy. For me, I would just captain Solanke or VVD. I'd captain VVD over Solanke.
With Bowen, and look, you will see the team, right? But I think there's something to be said of West Ham without Paqueta.
Kudos on Paqueta, yeah.
And kudos at the moment. And is there and a now, desperation to get
Paqueta's
him?
Who is Paqueta's replacement going to be? Benrahma. He's managed to get himself with a red carded and a 3-game ban. So again, now who's going to come in there?
So I, look, I just don't you think can it's spin worth that it. Narrative either way, and you can go, right, well, ultimately, definitely talisman now in Bowen. But we'd have thought that anyway over Kudos. But there really might be no supply line now.
Nothing.
Which is really concerning. And you can come back. So it's Thursday against Bournemouth, Sunday against United, Sunday against Arsenal. And now ultimately that Monday, we know it'll be the Monday against Brentford. So you can come back. So I'm not in a rush to get Jared Bowen in.
FPL Wingman says, if Richarlison continues his scoring form, he's unlikely to move from the striker position. Does this make Son less necessary on his return? I can cover single game days with Romero at the moment, for example.
Yeah, also consider this at the moment. The most likely return date for Sonny is going to be game week 24 or game week 25. They're both Saturday fixtures, respectively, against Brighton and Wolves. And obviously, if Chelsea make the Carabao Cup final, then the game against Chelsea on the single game day on that Friday the 23rd isn't going to happen. So there's no rush for Sonny. And in that case as well, you're probably selling Richarlison after that Wolves game and moving it on to something. It might be a Palace player on that Monday night, for example. Might be Tony.
Gigi Magpie, Captain Solanke or Van Dijk? If you own both this weekend, what would you do? I'd go Van Dijk.
I think Van Dijk because yeah, I'd still be pretty confident well. On the tier of passing, which is not a guarantee, by the way, at the weekend. It's not at all. That's why, again, I think it's not straightforward on Areola versus Van Dijk. But yeah, I think Van Dijk, I think.
Barry Morrison, Romero being back earlier than expected, is getting him back in ASAP a need rather than a want? I have Dunk, Saliba and VVD just now. So maybe João Pedro Romero on the 31st, James.
I can see me potentially making free transfers on Wednesday the 31st.
And they are?
Haaland.
Yeah.
De Bruyne.
Yeah.
And a Tottenham player.
Madison, if he emerges from the dead, Madison, or would it have to be
Madison
Romero?
Madison probably won't work for me. But Romero, yeah, or Porro. Part of the getting Haaland, De Bruyne and Salah all back in now, because when I picked the overhaul team, De Bruyne was never part of my thinking, really. I would be a little bit short, 0.4, but it's easily fixed by going, say, Dunk to Romero.
Okay.
It's easily done like that. So it could be that I end up making three moves Wednesday the 31st.
What's your thoughts on Porro? Because Darren says, I've overlooked Porro. He isn't a typical Sky pick, but is this a mistake? Because he seems to have plenty other routes to points, even if passing might not be there. It's assists and goals a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's too erratic for me, to be honest with you.
No, they're both perfectly reasonable, right? The next four
Romero
fixtures...
Romero or Porro?
Yeah, both.
No, but I'd go Romero over Porro 9 times out of 10 if I was given the choice.
Like, look, you look at weeks like that, Porro's got a tackle tier and an assist. And he could have had more,
yeah,
man.
But it's style of play, right? Darren, if you're the type of player that wants the upside and the big hauls and is happy to stomach
two
or three twos...
You could say Romero's style of play is going to get him a 3-game ban or it'd be a 4-game ban if he gets
true.
Set off again.
But then it's the same Romero that up until he got the first red card, we were praising him for keeping his head, not getting any yellow cards as well. So I prefer the consistency of the fives over it. That's my nature as a manager. You could be different. Darren could be different. I don't mind Porro as a player and asset. Yes, there's going to be some big hauls in there. But I just prefer Romero, to be honest with you.
I would personally, looking at those next four fixtures, and I don't think you can look further than that at the moment, which, look, by the time you have to make a transfer, you will know if the Chelsea game is on or off on Friday the 23rd. But you can only at the moment think of the next four. And I think Brentford, Everton, Wolves, I would strongly fancy Romero for passing tier in those. Brighton is more unpredictable, obviously. So I'm looking at there, putting him on kind of a base rate start of 17. You can't put Porro on that, on those fixtures. Now, Porro's ceiling's higher, right? Keep the attacking returns coming with the tackle tiers, it's going to outscore Romero. So again, you can spin it either way. The reason I went with neither was because there's no captaincy in there.
You can go back
the
for
reason
later
I
well.
Might go to it now is actually out of necessity more than a want.
AD Tour, if Haaland isn't going to be back for the Burnley game, would you just go KDB if he started instead?
I don't know how we're going to ignore it. I really don't, particularly if Tottenham and City...
all the extra fixtures and stuff, yeah.
If Tottenham and City's not a draw in the FA Cup fourth round, then City have a single game day at Brentford before the next single game day on Monday the 5th, right? So there's another opportunity then just to wait for the next one and then buy him again, at which point you can start re-networking stuff. You could sell from any of 18 teams then to get Haaland back in if you plan it correctly. So if De Bruyne's in the starting lineup against Burnley and Haaland's not back, I don't know how, for those of us who've got the money in the bank, how we're going to resist it. Because to be honest, for me, it would arguably put him in and captain him.
Julian Wardle, Ivan Toney equals fixture volume. Wondering if anyone has taken the punt on overhaul. Well, we've established that quite a few have. Is it 10%? No.
No, more than that.
15%.
I forget now.
I've got him right in front of me, James. I will tell you 10%.
Oh, it is only that,
on the top 1,000. I thought it was 10%.
100% it's going to grow.
Yeah.
100%.
SkyFF _ loser. Assuming most of us left Bowen out of overhaul squads and assuming he is now fit, do you think he's still an essential transfer? And I absolutely do not, as a West Ham fan. Or are you comfortable without, so long as you can cover off captaincy with existing players? Personally, I think I'll be going without. I'm in your boat, mate. I just don't feel it as well
with Areola, and that might be where you end up. Is there a big requirement for Bowen?
No.
Listen, we know what the capability is there, but I think without his mates, that would be concerning.
Agreed.
And there's regular entry points. There's certainly not a got to get it done. If people want to buy him back, by all means, crack on. It's fine if he's in the team at the weekend. But I certainly wouldn't describe it as essential.
Last but not least, James, we've got a question in from Chris Few, and it's completely irrelevant to Sky Fantasy Football. Nico, I want you involved in this one as well, yeah? As an American, and you are a Portuguese, so...
He's Cape Verdean this week.
Cape Verdean this week. I understand. Is it interesting? It is interesting to me how many different UK accents there are. Is there one particular accent that sounds the funniest and strangest to you? Feel free to call out any correspondents as well. Do you know what I find the weirdest is when the distance between places isn't very big. So like Liverpool and Manchester, for example, it's like half an hour, 45 minutes apart.
They're nothing alike.
And they're completely different.
It's a bit longer
and I'm
than
like,
that.
It's only 45 minutes Liverpool to Manchester. It's not that far.
Did you see Mark Clattenburg on Gladiators?
No.
And the wife was like, oh my God, he's properly impersonating the old Scottish guy. And I'm like, what?
He's Geordie.
He's a Geordie.
He's kind of close.
He's the closest.
Yeah. I find it weird when they're close to each other and then completely different. It's quite fun.
It's not to say Geordie sound like Scots, by the way. I'm just saying there's a certain element to the pitch of the accent that when Mark Clattenburg goes, Gladiators, ready! It's not Scottish or Geordie, is it? It's somewhere in the middle.
Nah. What do you find the funniest, Nico? Liverpool?
Jamie Carragher is arguing with our Everton correspondent, Sean Norton, on Twitter today, this morning.
Are they fighting, are they?
Jamie Carragher responded to Sean, so yeah, it's all good. So Sean's accent's proper strong, isn't it, as an Evertonian? So yeah, maybe we'll go with Sean.
Seven and a half out of 10 on the strength scale, particularly. It's funny how certain regions you associate with certain things, like West Country, for example. Cider. It just reminds me of farming from Bristol and all that kind of way. Bristol City. Good morning.
West Country.
Like Bristol, Bath, Somerset.
Okay.
That's all cider country.
Really offended people now.
That reminds me of farming for some reason or Birmingham.
Who did you say originally? Because I thought you was going to say Black Country. That's what's confusing.
I said West Country.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Black Country, which is obviously like Wolverhampton.
No, West Country. Like Bristol, Bath, Somerset. Yeah, but that's all very dull, isn't it? Just you have the associations with
cut the podcast.
But I think
the most eccentric Chris one is the Scousers, isn't it?
Yeah,
let's be honest.
It's very expressive and it's great fun.
But I think there'll be people north who think, "Nah, it's you lot, mate. We're your Londoners,
down south,
yeah,
Cockney,
down south,
Cockney geezers, indeed."
Wash your mouth out, mate.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Planet Sky FF. You know, questions get asked, we answer them. If you want to support the show or get access to James's fixture planning spreadsheet, some prize leagues, our Slack community, which is really helpful, particularly during this overhaul, it was really good to see everybody sharing their teams. Head over to patreon.com/planetfpl. Not only that, you get to listen to all of the podcasts ad-free, if that's your bag as well. Starting from as little as just £3 a month, £5 a month, whatever you fancy. And we'd love to have you over there supporting the show. Other than that, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to the podcast. Hit the thumbs up, like, subscribe, notification bell, whatever it may be. You'll get notified as soon as additional content goes live. James, tomorrow you have Clash of the Correspondents with...
Villa Newcastle with Lee Jackson, so Simon
Birmingham,
which
Newcastle, because Simon Bibby is as Geordie as it gets, right?
Might be a little bit of influence for Captaincy Tuesday 30th, which we'll obviously cover off next week. You know, Watkins versus Saka, for example. I've got Forest Arsenal Monday with Mark Southerns and Adam Pritchard as well.
Lovely jubbly. So make sure, like I said, you're subscribed. Stay safe, look after yourselves, and ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way, although I don't know, is there much to do?
Nah.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.